Hi there, folks. Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello. Welcome again. Thank you so much for joining with me. Continuing on the series, we're getting there, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we're in Matthew chapter 7, picking up from verse 7 through to verse 12. Now, I've got something really interesting for you this time around, because at face value, a lot of these sections of Scripture, when you just read them as they are, it's easy to think, oh, I get that. It makes sense, and just look at it face value. But let's dig just a little bit deeper, shall we, on this one. So let's begin. I'll read through Matthew 7, verses 7 through verse 12, and then we're going to take a look at Luke 11. Verse 7 says, "Ask," Jesus speaking, "and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Anyone who's been a Christian for any length of time, we're familiar with these scriptures. Verse 8, "For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent, a snake? If you then," verse 11, "being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Now, at face value, like I said, this seems very, very simple. Ask, seek, knock, be diligent in prayer, God will give good things to you. Yes, and of course, do the same to others and so on. But let's just have a look. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. One of the things that I have found in Scripture, particularly emphasis now on the Gospels, is that if you truly want to understand any part or portion of the Gospels, we should also read the other parts, the other portions of them as well, which are similar in nature, speak to the same story, or speak of a related parable, for example, and so on. One of the best ways to find that is with something called the Harmony of the Gospels. You can Google it. I'm sure you'll find some free examples online very quickly. And so you see the parallels in each of the different four Gospels that relate to the others. Because one of the things that we know about the Gospels is it's not necessarily written in chronological date order. Going through the Harmony of the Gospels helps you gain that bigger picture. So now let's continue on in Luke chapter 11. Here we see the parallel from verse 9. Jesus speaking, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Listen to this, verse 13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Excuse me one moment. Quick drink. Interesting. "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, what we have here in Luke 11 is a repeat of this section of Scripture. Now, this is interesting because it is slightly different. You can read the whole thing. Different scholars will say one of two different things. I want to give you this context. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 was a sermon, you know, on a mountain, mountaintop, started with just the disciples. Others came, we know from the end of it, I spoke to this earlier, that there were then were the masses, the multitudes of people. In Luke chapter 11, we see something which is called the Sermon on the Plain, not necessarily on a mountaintop. And Luke says all different people of all cultures were there, we would have to assume, from the beginning. But we must be careful in how we make such assumptions, because some assume they are both the same thing, because they teach on some of the same principles, i.e. the Lord's Prayer. It's in both the Sermon on the Mount and Luke 11, the Sermon on the Plain. Also, we look at this section here. Which is the truth, Arth, Seek, or Knock? Are they one and the same, told differently, or are they two different things? Honestly, I and other scholars, I don't know. It doesn't specifically say that they are the same thing. It does suggest that they are different. So I make a note, a point of that, simply to say to you this. When you are hearing, me included, when you are hearing someone teaching on Scripture, a sermon of some sort, whether it's a motivational preach or whether it's actual teaching, and if you hear something that you haven't heard before, don't take it as gospel truth. Dig it out. Research it. Look into it. Read the Bible for yourself. And study and show yourself approved as a good worker in Christ. That's what the Scripture tells us to do in Timothy. So here we have the parallels between these two stories. This is the main point. Number one, there are two. Number one is that persistence and prayer is key in the life of any believer. Prayer is our direct line to God, folks. It's where we come to our Lord, to our Savior, and we let Him know, even though we know, as we read earlier at the end of Matthew 5, that He knows what we're going to ask before we ask it. And then we're told the beginning of Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer that we should be praying His will. As I've said it before, I will always pray, Father, this is what I want. This is the need, the desire of my heart. But if you have something better, that is what I really want. That is the earnest desire of my heart. Your will be done. But here we see persistence in prayer is incredibly important. And between these two passages, it's repeated. I believe, my understanding, these are two different sermons, if I can use that phrase, told at two different times in Jesus' ministry. If you look through preceding and following events and the placement and the disciples and so on. I believe two different things, but such an important message that Jesus had to tell it twice. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. These are, in the Greek, what you would call continuous tense verbs. They are not just then and then they're done. They're not just somewhere in the future. They're not even just now. They're ongoing. And Jesus encourages us to continue to do this. And I want to make mention, in Luke 18, you may remember the parable of the persistent widow, where she came to a judge and she said, this is my need. And he just went, ugh. It was apathetic. Ugh, go away, go away. But she came back. Ugh. Go away, go away. But she kept coming back, and the persistence of this widow with her need, and finally the judge granted her that which she sought. Now, let me just quickly say this. As a parallel in that parable, God is not apathetic towards our needs. Absolutely not. Interesting, though, sometimes we are apathetic in our, what's the word? Persistence. Aren't we? We are apathetic. But what we see here is that just as the widow did not give up in the seeking of who could grant her request, we too should not give up. And we should show faith in what we are doing. So we see also here an analogy in verses 9 through 11 there of the Father and the Son giving good gifts. And I just want to make a quick commentary on this, because some of us, and I praise God, I am not one, but some of us didn't have good fathers who would give good gifts to us, okay? As a father in my younger years, I sadly was. I was that father who did not give good gifts. But our God and our Father in heaven is everything that we would want as a father. And this is what I have found, even in my failings, I have found Him faithful. Does that make sense? It's important that we understand that. And we look at the good gifts. What are the good gifts? I believe, this is Paul, I believe when we go through this that we see the greatest gift that Christ can give us, that God the Father can give us, is the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we read there in Luke chapter 11. This is the greatest of good gifts. Are there others? Absolutely, yes. Provision from the Lord. Health and healing, absolutely. The love of a good, godly partner, absolutely. Good teaching from the platform, absolutely. All of these things are incredible and beautiful gifts. But the greatest of these gifts is the Holy Spirit. And without such, you truly are missing out on 95-99% of every possibility of good gifts. Good gifts in this flesh are but fleeting for a time. So we must remember that and take that in context. And let me now just wrap this one up. I once heard someone say, oh, it's not in the Bible. Do unto others, you know, as you want them to do to you. Well, here we have, look at this. Verse 12, Matthew 7, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. The golden rule. This is important to remember. And it comes to do with gifts. It comes to do with grace. It comes to do with forgiveness. It comes to do with listening ear. As you want someone to be doing towards you, do the same to others, but do it first. That's my instruction to you. Do it first. Be the one who steps out first, just as our Father in heaven did when he stepped out first. And yet the scripture says, whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to come to him. He stepped out first and made it possible, that reconciliation between us and him. Use him as that example. And we see the same. This is the law and the prophets. And Jesus keeps repeating over and over again this whole Sermon on the Mount, fulfilling and understanding truly the meaning and the depth and the heart behind the law and the prophets. And that is one of the reasons why I often will say when I'm teaching that you cannot fully understand New Testament, the New Covenant. You can't unless you understand the Old, the law and the prophets. They explain it. What we see in these writings of New Testament, say from Acts 2 onwards, the New Covenant, what we see there is a summary of explanation, which makes it easier for us, praise God. But do not dismiss the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. Learn it, understand it, for in it we find Christ and the fulfillment of it. All right, guys, have a great day, great week. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.